We're going to be in Ecclesiastes this morning. If you want to stand for, I just have one verse, so you won't have to stand long. And she was going to put it up there. Thank you, Sandy. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So, Lord God, I just come before you now this morning, Lord, and just pray that the words that you have given me will be received in the hearts of the people as you have intended, Lord. And, Lord, I give you praise for who you are and who you have created me to be. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I've been thinking about, Pastor Doug has been saying this, that he's been saying on mission. And so, I don't know, I love that. That just gets me excited. So I have been this week thinking about it, praying about it, meditating about it. So, of course, the first thing I did was I went to my Bible to go start digging in, and guess what? The word mission isn't in the Bible. So I was like, okay, well. So I went to the Webster's, right? So the first definition that he says is the act of sending or the state of being sent, a being sent or delegated by authority with certain powers for transacting business. Or number two, that with which a messenger or agent is charged, an errand, business, or duty on which one is sent. So there is a couple words in the Bible that when we think of mission, we do think of an apostle as one of them. So in the Greek, apostolos is a messenger, one sent on a mission, an apostle. Apostello is to send away by a superior. Diaconia means service or ministry. So, what does that make us think of? That makes us think of a missionary, right? So often we think of a missionary as someone who has to leave the country to do the work. Now, we know that's true, and we know that that's needed because we have a mission team in the Bahamas. But let's remember that that's not the only kind of mission work that needs to be done. So I'm wondering if you have ever asked yourself any of these questions. What should I do for the Lord? Maybe how should I do it for the Lord? Or why should I do it? So let's start with what should I do for the Lord? So if we look back at our verse, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Seems relatively simple for me to understand. I think sometimes we want to think that it's more in depth. Whatever your hand finds to do. My hand, it's pretty close to me, isn't it? It's not very far away. It's right here. It's not some far away, hard place to go to. So it's close at hand. So maybe it's my house. Maybe it's my children. Maybe it's my husband. Perhaps it's my church, which is close at hand. And actually, for me, it's really close at hand. So, yeah. So that really makes sense for me. But if I look around here, I mean here, this building, there's all kinds of work that my hand could find to do. Believe me, there are projects big and small. But sometimes we're always looking far away. We're always thinking of this grand thing that I can do for the Lord. By seeing my church as my mission or my work that my hands find to do, then I'm being on mission. The things that need to be done around here are things that serve the Lord. We have to keep the building up. We have to keep it operable so that we can have service here. But right now, we're trying to work on a renovation upstairs. So we had someone come in, a carpenter, a contractor, that did a good bulk of the work for us. But now there's all kinds of little things that need to be done up there. We've been painting and we've been prepping all week long. And let's see, neither one of them are here this morning. Well, Cheryl's in Arizona. But Cheryl and Bill found what their hands needed to do, and they did it this week. So they came and they helped me, and we began to paint that room up there. So if you get a chance, wander upstairs. It's going to... So perhaps close at hand is our neighborhood, or maybe close at hand is your workplace. So I really think This is what I have been thinking about. If I have to ask the Lord, what should I do? I might actually be a little bit lazy. Because if I really wanted something to do for the Lord, I really think he would bring many things before my hands. And I would actually have to ask, what should I do first? But sometimes this work that is right in front of us, it might seem maybe like it's not much fun. Or nobody's seeing me do it. Or no one's praising me for it. It's not very grand work. But the longer I live for Christ, the longer that list gets. So we're all in different places in our walk, and we have different things that the Lord is asking us to do. So for Pastor Doug and I was actually thinking I might come right down here, because this part of this is our testimony. Can everybody still see me if I sit here? Okay. I have this so that I can stay on track, okay? So for Pastor Doug and I, it has been a journey for sure. And I'm going to share with you our journey. So we grew up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We were both brought up in very middle-class homes, hardworking parents. He was raised Roman Catholic. I was raised Presbyterian. We met when I was 19 and he was 23. And we met in a bar. That's the funny story that we get to tell our grandkids when they get older. Neither of us were saved. And we were heading down the wrong path of drugs and alcohol. We married just 10 months later. And then we were off with the United States Navy. We were stationed in San Diego, Hawaii, San Francisco, and then Elgin, Illinois. We had been married about 8 years, and we were still going down the wrong path of drugs and alcohol. Our lives changed that night in Elgin, Illinois. And you've heard part of this story from Pastor Doug, when a man broke into our house with a flashlight and a shotgun, and he was there to terrorize us. He wanted nothing more than to terrorize us. He raped me, and I ran out of the house while Pastor Doug continued the struggle. And he eventually got away. So it changed our lives that night, literally. I remember that I was thinking to myself while it was happening, God, help me. Help me, Lord, help me. And from that moment forward, I wondered, who was I to even ask God to help me? I didn't even know who God was. So that actually was the beginning of our journey. That sent us on a journey to find out about Jesus, which we did shortly after that while we were attending an Episcopalian church. We continued our journey with the Navy to Green Bay, Wisconsin, Naples, Italy, and then to Maine, a small telecommunications station in Cutler, Maine. We arrived here in 1997 with 3 kids, and we were eager to serve the Lord in however he wanted to use us. In 2000, Pastor Doug retired from the Navy. The plan was to return to Green Bay. It was what we had planned for 20 years. So one day, Pastor Doug came to me and he said, I have something that I'd like you to pray about. Very eager, yes, sure. What would you like me to pray about? He said, well, I feel like the Lord is telling us that we should stay here in Maine. Okay, well, no, I'm not praying about that. And as a matter of fact, I'm mad at you now, and I'm not going to speak to you. So that was very quiet in our house for a couple of weeks. But you know what? I did pray. And we did feel like the Lord was telling us to stay here in Maine. It didn't make sense to us, because we had planned all this time to go back to both of our families were in Wisconsin. So after that, we bought a house. We had Noah, and then we began attending a different church. And when that pastor was going to be moving, Pastor Doug filled in for a while. So after that, eventually, he was living up, and we both were living up to a calling that we knew that was upon our life, and we became the pastors of LifeSpring Chapel Church of God, which is in East Machias, Maine. And we ministered there for 12 years. As a small country church, never had more than about 20 people. And he worked full-time. He was the administrator of an assisted living facility. And we put our hands to work doing whatever the Lord put in front of us. Ha, that's where we met Matt, too. Pastor Doug also went through his first round of melanoma cancer while we were there. From his head, then it went down into his lung, where he had to have part of his lung removed. And the Lord healed him to continue doing the work that he had set before us. And we actually thought that that was where we were going to live for the rest of our lives. Our kids were getting older, and we just figured that's where we would be. But then in 2013, the Lord came calling, and he asked us if we were ready for a new mission. Of course, I said no. Oh, I did pray, though. You know, sometimes we get really comfortable where we are. And, you know, if I think about it, I think, you know, there was no reason for us to leave. It's a beautiful church in Augusta, wonderful people. And I just, once again, it didn't make sense to me. But he had a new mission for us. So we moved most of our family. So we moved most of our family to Augusta to pastor there. And for 6 years, we put our hands to work wherever the Lord had called us. And most of you here today, he had went through a second round of melanoma cancer while we were there. And so most of you here today prayed for him while during that time. And then once again, the Lord healed him so that we could continue our work for him. Then last year, the Lord came again to us and asked us if we were up for a new mission. And the answer was yes, Lord. But once again, it was like, no, I don't want to do that. Because we're comfortable. And sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. So, but whatever your hands find to do, do it. And so now we're here on a new mission. So, you see, it took a lot of years of doing whatever our hands found to do before we got here. It's been a journey for us, and I'm sure all of you are on journeys also. But serve God in that which your hand finds in the present. Serve him in your immediate situation, where you are now. Stop and attend to the work that the Lord is giving you now. And if everybody will do that which comes immediately under his own eyes and is found out by his own hand, then how much more could we accomplish? We don't have to go prowling around for work, but do it. Do it where your hand is. So the next question is, how are we to do it? Well, when I thought about that, I thought, well, first, we need to do it. So we squander away so much time. We procrastinate. We put it off. We overthink. We talk about. We're talking about what we're going to do. We make excuses. We announce to people what we're going to do. But we need to actually do it. So when the Lord told Noah to build the ark, he didn't question him. He just did it. Genesis 6:22 says, "Thus Noah did. According to all that God commanded him, so he did." When God told Abram to get out of his country, he did as he was instructed. Genesis 12:4 says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him." Or when the Lord told Abraham to take Isaac and sacrifice him, Hebrews 11 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered Isaac." So sometimes what the Lord tells us to do, it really doesn't make sense to us. But we have to obey and we have to just do it. When the Lord came to us when we retired and said to stay in Maine, it didn't make sense then. But now it makes 20 years later, it makes, well, 23 years later now, it makes a lot more sense. Or here's another example. When our house in Whiting, which we still own a home outside of Machias, It hasn't sold for 7 years, but when we were in Augusta, all I did was, Lord, please sell my house, sell my house. Oh, Lord. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. It made no sense why our house wasn't selling. Well, now it makes a little more sense, because if it would have sold, we probably would have bought a house in Augusta. But see, the Lord knew that we weren't going to stay in Augusta. So it doesn't always make sense to us. So let's get to work and let's do it. When we see something that needs to be done, let's do it. When the Lord speaks to us to do something, let's do it. Let's not have any more excuses. So the next part is, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Whatsoever you do for Christ, do it wholeheartedly, with everything inside of you for the Lord. I was thinking about back at LifeSpring Chapel, where we had about 20 people. Well, I clean the church every Saturday. And actually, we had mostly teenagers in our church. Our oldest daughter, Alexis, was our youth pastor, and she had built it up that kids from all over came to youth group, and then they would come to church on Sunday. Well, they would have, when I was cleaning, there would always be those cans of Red Bull or Monster, or I don't know, whatever they were, in the pews, like in between the seats. And I would always whine and complain about it to the Lord. And one day, the Holy Spirit stopped me. And the Holy Spirit whispered to me and said, if you didn't have those cans laying on the floor right there, there would be no teenagers in this church. And you know, from that moment forward, I cleaned that church a little bit more wholeheartedly. And when I picked up a can or an empty coffee cup or whatever, I just prayed. Because I knew that they didn't know. They weren't from church homes. They weren't brought up the same. And so I began to clean the church wholeheartedly. And I can tell you, there was also times in cleaning the church where the Lord would really bless me. So it was a lot smaller than this sanctuary page. So we had about 60. I think if we smushed them, we could get 60 seats in the sanctuary. So I don't care really how you're serving, but you need to do it with all your heart. Only if you only have one in your class today for Sunday school or for children's church, then deliver that lesson as if the room was full. At LifeSpring Chapel, I can tell you, there was plenty of Sundays when Pastor Doug preached to a lot of empty seats. But there was the five of us. But he would preach just like the church was packed. I always remember how he treated us, like it mattered that we were there to hear the words of the Lord. Numbers didn't mean anything to us. We served and we did all that the Lord commanded us to do with our whole hearts. And where does that might come from? It comes from the Lord. So let's seek the Lord in prayer to give us the wisdom and strength that we need to serve him. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it. Do it with real might, which God has promised when we ask for it. With real wisdom, which he gives liberally, which he bestows on all who seek it meekly and reverently at his feet. So now the third question is, why should I do it? Because time is going to run out. I read something this week by Charles Spurgeon, and he said, if God didn't need us here on earth to accomplish something, he could have just taken us to heaven when we got saved. He could have just said, okay, you're saved. Okay, come on, go to heaven. You're saved, go to heaven. You're saved, go to heaven. No, because he needs us to accomplish his work here on earth. When time runs out and there's no more time for preaching and there's no more time for serving God here on earth, no more time for praying, no more time to win souls to see in heaven. So if Jesus were to come here today and show us his nail-scarred hands and feet and say to us, this is what I have done for you. What have you done for me? What would we say? Some of us have known the Lord for many years. What would we say? Think of your contributions to the kingdom. Add them up. Does it amount to anything? Think of what you've done for him, how much time you've given him. Think of your time in prayer to him. Now some, probably including myself, I might think, I've done these things pretty abundantly. But then I lay them down alongside what he's done for me. And what I have done for him, it's nothing. It's dust. Could I have the worship team to come back up? So I encourage all of us to have a time when we think upon our work here on this earth. Whether it's a young mother and father, they're working earnestly to raise their kids, which it's not taken lightly. That is a job here on this earth that the Lord has put your hands to do. Do it with all your might. And for young mothers, that's the season, that's the time you're in now, and it's okay. Or maybe those that are in their middle age, we have adult children heading out into this world. Our job is never done. We have to help pray them into the next stages of their life. Or maybe you're older and you have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Never stop praying for them. And never stop speaking into their lives. We have work to do. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it. The Lord is watching us, and sometimes he's waiting for us. So if we're on mission, like Pastor Doug has been talking about, then we're working for the Lord. So whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. So we're going to have a time of prayer. And maybe you have to think about the questions, maybe. What should I do for the Lord? How should I do it? Or why should I do it? Or maybe, as for me, during this past week while I was working on this message, I had to repent, because I know that there's things that the Lord has told me to do and I haven't done them. So if you want to take that time and think about that, if you need prayer, you can come up. I'll pray for you, or others will pray for you. Or if there's anything else that's going on in your life that you need prayer for, you can come up. Okay?